Fascinating to behold, it's the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. The Medicare podcast embarrassed that Prince Charles is such a dope. And now, a man who once cured his hiccups by waterboarding himself, it's Medicare expert Doug Jones.
Wow, Drew McMillan, you clever guy, you. That was quite a little zinger that Drew spit out. That's Drew McMillan, my Canadian nephew, the announcer, the original announcer, and the continuing announcer for the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast, and that's where you are right now. I hope you meant to be here, otherwise you're confused and probably in the wrong place. But we help people transition from real life to Medicare life. And we try to do it in a way that's not threatening, not scary, and not time-consuming, and not headache-producing, but maybe kind of fun. I don't know. So every one of these podcasts, we try to do a little content that explains to people why they don't have to be afraid of Medicare and some of the weird things that go on with that that Medicare transition that you're probably approaching. Otherwise, why would you be listening? Go away if you're not approaching Medicare. Don't listen to this. We have a 30-second spot that explains exactly what we are up to here. And I bet Randy Carson's going to play that for us right now if we just be real quiet.
Medicare is complicated. Medicare can be confusing. Medicare is no fun to study. Will you know what decisions to make when Medicare time arrives for you? My name is Doug Jones, and I wrote a book to help you figure it all out. Medicare for the Lazy Man. It's on sale at Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com. Also, you can download and listen to my podcast, Medicare for the Lazy Man, wherever fine podcasts are given away free of charge. Medicare for the Lazy Man, simplest and easiest guide ever.
Thank you, Randy. I appreciate that. And speaking of which, how are we doing today? Using the royal we, of course.
Well, we should.
Of course.
Just so, am I required to call you Sir or Lord Grantham?
That's interesting that I've been watching The Crown lately. I am English, but I'm not a soap opera fan, so I was kind of dragged kicking and screaming to it by the spousal unit, and I have been enjoying it. So you may attach any appellation that you feel is appropriate to me. Now, what caused you to have that thought today?
Well, you were just looking particularly royal.
Oh, that won't last.
Maybe it was that crown you had have on your head.
Oh, is it the ceiling fan that you're seeing?
Yes, I think so.
Well, I don't know what I'm going to do about that, but it does kind of look like. Arrows or needles sticking out of my head, doesn't it? Wow.
It's the first rotating crown I've ever seen.
All right. Well, let's try to ignore that if you can. And I'm going to turn the desk around next time or something. I owe you an apology for distracting you like that.
Oh, because I am easily distracted. Look, shiny, shiny. Look.
Oh, that's even shinier than the other thing. Well, I am actually descended from William the Conqueror. My family history has been traced from William the Conqueror, or as he was affectionately known in some circles, William the Bastard. And I'm descended from his progeny, the first few generations, and then where they lost me, all the kings of England up to King John, who was the evil character in the Robin Hood legend. And, you know, King Richard the Lionheart was the good king, and his brother John was the evil king. And if you watch the old TV series, the buddy of the Sheriff of Nottingham, who was also evil, evil, evil. And so I'm descended from King John, not King Richard the Lionheart. So from that point, my ancestry became dukes and then earls and then, you know, military officers, and then came to America. And I don't know exactly what year, but married in the United States, in Virginia, in 1642. So whoever, you know, Colonel Reed was his name. And he arrived in Virginia sometime before 1642. And We've been chugging along in the States ever since. So you were pretty close when you started throwing out English titles. There was a time when if I had stayed in England, I would have had a title probably.
Well, I'll have to look this up a little further because you know Margaret, my wife, is an expert genealogist and it's a hobby of hers. So
I did not know that.
Yes,
I know a lot of things about Margaret. I know that she used to skydive. I know that she takes dogs to be groomed.
Yes, yes.
Because they have hair, not fur.
That's right. We learned that today.
Yes, we did. We learn a fact every day, whether we want to or not. But I did not know she was a genealogist.
Yes, yeah. We started years ago. The name Carson is very difficult to trace, and there's been a number of people try it. Probably the most recognizable name of which tried to trace it was Alex Haley.
Oh, okay.
For Johnny Carson.
Yeah, I was going to say, would he have been doing that for his own relatives? Probably not.
Well, I think Alex Haley was tracing his own ancestry, but he became over the course of time somewhat of a well-known expert in genealogy, and he was on Johnny Carson's Late Show one night, and he said, "I'll trace your ancestry because I'm an expert," and he had to come back several months, weeks, something later. And with his tail between his legs and had been unable to trace the name. So,
oh boy,
it's a difficult name, but we have pulled it off.
Well, I might have offered him a hint. I might have said the name in Gaelic means son of Carr. Would that have helped at all?
Well, there was a lot of cars back then.
Oh, okay.
There was GTOs and there was Corvettes.
Yeah, oh no, boy. Those were the days, weren't they?
I'm teasing. But anyway, I'll have to tell you the story behind that someday. And it's an interesting, as everyone's genealogy and family history is interesting to them, may not mean a darn thing to anybody else, but it's interesting to the family.
Well, I'm hoping that we have one more fan listening today than we had before, because last night I got an email from 23andMe. And I thought, I did something bad a long time ago. But it was a 52-year-old woman who is related to me by virtue of my grandfather's sister who wandered off to Indiana and had a family there. And it turns out her mother married into that family. No, her mother was part of that family, married outside. So anyway, it was... I dug into some of my records, and she told me what she recalled, and Mary did a little research and found her mother's obituary, giving her maiden name, which tied the whole thing together. So I have a new relative in the world, and hopefully a new fan.
Yeah, absolutely. And what's interesting, and I'll get off on my one, I have a hanging chad here that I'm trying to get to. And I want to bring the hanging chad back in the discussion because I find it very interesting. But long story short is when you're in genealogy, every once in a while, there's like a key log, so to speak, that once you can get past back before that key log, you will find hundreds of people that you're related to.
Yeah, sure. Well, that makes sense. Yeah, frankly, if you just look at a chart, you know, a family tree, the fact that I'm traced back to William the Conqueror doesn't mean that he's my only ancestor. He's one of, this is 33 generations ago. He's one of like a million.
Right.
And so it pales in importance when you realize how many were that far removed from the current day.
Well, obviously I'm a programmer. So that's, I think of it all as grandparents, parents as in powers of two. So you've got two parents. You've got four grandparents. You've got eight great-grandparents, 16, 32, 64, 128, 256. I can count it all the way up to 4,096.
That's kind of like that guy who said that he would take the rice that the Chinese would give him and go away. He would take his army and go away. If they would take a chessboard, put one grain of rice on the first square, two grains on the second square, four grains on the...
Yeah.
And he said, you just give me... wait till we get to the 64th square, give me that amount of rice and I'll go away quietly and I will not sack your country. And they said, hey, not a problem. You know, get a guy over here with a wheelbarrow. We'll pay him off. And it turns out that that was like a more rice than the world had ever known or something. Well, by the time they got to 64th Square.
I've never heard of that one. That's a great story. Here's one more kind of related story. And this, everybody in the audience can try this. It's impossible to fold a piece of paper in half more than five times.
Actually, the number I heard was seven times. But
okay, let's say seven. High school. Let's say seven.
I was in high school, and I kept thinking, if I had a paper, big piece of paper as big as this room, but the flaw in that is that they don't call it folding when you get to a certain number. They call it rolling.
Yeah.
Now, you can define it as a roll or a fold, however you want. But see, that's when I lost interest in that particular factoid, because you're still moving it over. You know, the first time you fold it, the two opposing edges are touching. Then you fold it again, you got opposing edges touching. And it, what they're saying is that you can't call that a fold anymore. You have to call it a roll. Well, you know, I'm going back to my chessboard. That's where I'm going to hang my hat.
You got to get your bag of rice and go for it, huh?
Yeah, you know, I'm a big fan of rice, and I heard that they're going to take Uncle Ben's name off of it. So I don't know.
It's going to be the bag of rice formerly known as Uncle Ben.
Yeah, like the Washington football team.
Yeah.
Well, okay. All righty.
I've got one hanging Chad I need to bring in here, and then we can get to some medical.
I thought you just did.
No. That's not. That was an impromptu hanging Chad.
Well, you're Chad Rich today. Go right ahead with your Chad.
So I mentioned a couple episodes ago for people to guess or determine or research what category on Amazon Books, it's a secondary category, is Doug Jones's book first place, often, not always, but often.
First, second. It's frequently right up there at the top.
And it's a secondary category that you'll never get. Obviously, Doug knows, but the audience, what do you think? Just in your mind right now, what do you think that is? And then let's count it down so Doug can announce it. 3, 2, 1. And it is?
Travel tips. I can't say it without laughing. If you want some, go to the travel tips section of Amazon.com looking for books, and they have puzzle books and all kinds of things. Right up front is going to be Medicare for the Lazy Man. And I used to wonder why that would be. And I used to think, well, maybe that's because it's so dull and boring to read about Medicare that people take that on trips with them, and they say, okay, here's a book I'm going to force myself to plow through. But then I think it was yesterday that it occurred to me that people who travel a lot and who are looking for literature about traveling probably tend to be older. So they're probably approaching Medicare age. And when they see the book, the cover of the book is so self-explanatory that it just draws enough attention that they say, hey, while I'm at it, I'll buy this puzzle book and I will also learn about Medicare, because it's conveniently positioned for them to trip over it. That's the only theory I've come up with.
Yes. Of course, I couldn't get through I would rather read Medicare for the Lazy Man forwards and backwards and memorize it than I would to do a puzzle book. I see no redeeming value in puzzle books.
Yes, I understand that, but I know that you're lying to me about your interest in reading the book as opposed to the puzzles, because every time we talk about, well, on page 4, see that misspelling there? You have no clue what I'm talking about. What book?
What page? Oh, that page.
I think it's when your mind hears the word Medicare, it slams shut. And so I have to pry it open every time to talk.
Yes, there is some evidence that that's true. Well, I'm gonna say we should probably get after it. So that was my fun fact for the day.
Well, I've got a pretty fun subject to talk about here too. It's a little indication of the IQ of the Medicare administrators in Washington, D.C. I lovingly refer to them as the CMS, the agency that can't spell its own acronym. It stands for Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. So that would be CMMS if they could spell properly, but obviously they can't because they go by the name CMS. So what happens when you have a Medicare Advantage? And lots of people do. And why do lots of people do? Because Medicare Advantage plans pay big, big commissions to the agents that sell them. So the agents that sell them are out there pounding the pavement all the time looking for clients, or as Randy and I call them, victims, to buy these products. Now, once a year from October to December, there is an annual election period where the people who got stuck in a poorly performing Medicare Advantage plan are legally allowed to switch to a different Medicare Advantage plan or to get out of Medicare Advantage altogether and go back to real Medicare. So that's, they're allowed to do that. And that's 53 days from October 15th to December 7th every year. And that's when you start seeing your mailbox fill up with all kinds of mail from other Medicare Advantage plans, hoping that you will choose their product. So what happened? Well, apparently that wasn't long enough to satisfy the demand for people that are angry at the flaws in their Medicare Advantage plans. Those people have seen their doctors leave their networks and they can't do a thing about it until, theoretically until the end of that year. They've seen the drug plan attached to their Medicare Advantage plan turn into a nightmare wherein they have to pay for, huge amounts of money for the drugs they're taking and all that stuff. All those changes can come along, but the people are stuck with the Medicare Advantage plan they have until the end of the year. So the government, in its largesse, in its wisdom, and I have to laugh when I hear that word, they have created a three-month period at the beginning of the year where people who have really screwed up and bought Medicare Advantage plans are allowed to dump them. And they can make one change. They can make either the change to a different Medicare Advantage plan, or they can go back to original Medicare, which is parts A and B. And it's a one-time only deal. Even if they changed a whole bunch in the prior 3 months, the end of the year AEP. So this is basically a period of time that the government allows mistakes to be corrected. And boy, if you've joined a Medicare Advantage plan, it could be considered a mistake. So I've got this big long article from an insurance company. And I know it's from an insurance company because it has photographs of a lot of weird looking people on it. And so it says, what can you do during this OEP, which is open enrollment period? People throw that term around an awful lot, but in reality, open enrollment period involves January, February, and March of each year, those enrolled in a Medicare Advantage plan. So here's what they can do. They can switch to a different Medicare Advantage plan with or without drug coverage, or they can go back to original Medicare and then get a prescription drug plan if they want to do that. It occurs every year from January 1st to March 31st. They tried getting rid of it for a few years, and I think the demand frightened them. The anger from people who got stuck in really bad Medicare Advantage plans or Medicare Advantage plans that changed drastically after they purchased them. So people insisted on having a little more freedom. And, what's this country all about if not freedom? So I highlighted a notation here. The Medicare Advantage open enrollment period does not provide an opportunity for an individual enrolled in original Medicare to join a Medicare Advantage plan. In other words, you can get out of a Medicare Advantage plan, but you can't get into one if you are not already stuck in one. So this is a special time for really unhappy people. But there's another element to it that I didn't realize until yesterday when I was reading through this document. They don't want you to tell your clients about it. They want you to keep it a secret. And why is that? Because they think that you will just go around churning and burning and making clients feel unhappy with their Medicare Advantage plan in order to induce them to change to a new plan, which you, of course, would happily sell them. So there, this document here, which is about 10 pages long, is completely full of instructions about what you as an agent are able to do. And it's frightening to think that your government really believes that agents are out there following these rules. What are examples of things that they can't do? Well, mostly, they cannot explain what the open enrollment period is unless the person expresses dissatisfaction. The person they're talking to must start the conversation about, I don't like my plan, I want to change. When can I do that? Otherwise, the agent is in violation. Now, how would they enforce that? Well, they have spies out there. They have shoppers, secret shoppers, that will walk around pretending to be potential customers. And when the secret shoppers ask these agents in a question that doesn't fit the profile, the agent can be reported and penalized by the CMS, the agency that can't even spell its own acronym properly. So frankly, I was going to read a whole bunch of this document, but frankly, first of all, it's going to bore the heck out of the audience. And secondly, Randy and I burned up a lot of time at the beginning of the episode. So I'm not sure that this is really all of that germane and entertaining. But there are a couple of questions in here. There are many instructions for agents, like, can I do this? No. Can I do this? No. One question, can an agent wear a button or have a sign or send a marketing piece or a social media post that says something like, ask me about OEP or OEP question mark? OEP meaning open enrollment period. And the government says, no, you cannot do that. You could use something that says, ask me about Medicare plans, but you cannot say anything about OEP until a potential customer asks you. And how are they going to know to ask you? Well, that's the secret. The government really doesn't want the embarrassment of having their plans become so unpopular that people can't wait to get out of them. And they now, from October 15th until March 31st, they can bail out of Medicare Advantage plans. And why is that? Because so many people find them unsatisfactory. So I think it's kind of weird that the government thinks that we're too stupid to be told about that, that if nobody mentions it to us, then nobody will know and everything will just be hunky-dory. So what do you think about that, Randy? Does it surprise you that the government would have such a low opinion of the intelligence of their citizenry?
No, that doesn't surprise me. It reminds me of Elmer Fudd. Be very, very quiet. I'm hunting wabbits. So that's...
Did you remember that Drew McMillan did that on one of our opening recordings that he did?
Yes, but I do have a couple observations. I have a couple observations that I would like to insert into this podcast because I think they're very critically important.
Please do.
Medicare Advantage plans, in my estimation, are the only thing you can buy where the salesperson gets more good out of it than you do.
And that's true. Boy, those salespeople do. If I were going to do that, I would have to take a wheelbarrow to every sales call just to carry the money away that they would pay me selling Medicare Advantage.
And there's one more observation. Given the fact that you and I have been working together a couple three years now, I am more observant about watching such advertising on television. Uh-huh. I saw a really interesting advertisement the other night for what I know now as Medicare Advantage. I wouldn't have known it 5 years ago, but it was kind of an interesting approach. This guy was marching across the street with a sign, like a picket sign. And it says, our plan sucks less. Does that work?
Well, it does in some it works in those circle of people who are not able to be told things, you know, keep it a secret. So that's a sign cleverly designed to skirt the rules and to pique some interest in the people that have been kept ignorant by the government.
Yes, because we don't want them to be very quiet.
Very quiet. I'm hunting wibbits.
I'm hunting wibbits. Yeah. You educate me on something every time that I just have to shake my head. Because, I mean,
it's kind of sad, isn't it?
An insurance agent cannot say, hey, have you considered changing to a plan that doesn't suck quite as much? I'm not allowed to say that.
Yeah. If there was a sign, we had to talk to deaf people. If there's a sign for does your insurance plan suck, maybe we could teach that to people. And I do have to remind people that the plans that don't suck are the Medicare Advantage or Medicare supplement plans. But often, if you haven't had a Medicare supplement plan when you were first eligible, you may have to answer a lot of medical questions about your health. And if your health has deteriorated, you might not qualify for a Medicare supplement plan. So when you get out of a Medicare Advantage plan, often you're thinking only of, I'll get back into another Medicare Advantage plan because there's no medical underwriting. But in reality, the problem or the solution for many of these people's unhappiness is to go to a attractively priced Medicare supplement plan like your high value plans that we talk about a lot. So
jumping from one Medicare Advantage plan to another is like being in Vegas.
Yeah.
And going from one bar to the next, and they go, no bouncer, no fees.
Yeah, okay. When I go to bars, I used to enjoy it because I could drink for free as long as I was playing video poker or whatever gambling device they had at the bar. I think that kind of came to an end, at least the places I hang out.
I was never much into video poker anyway, but I haven't seen them very much.
I wasn't into video poker until the day I hit a Royal Flush. And then I got into it real fast, and I've been hooked ever since.
Then you were much, much more interested.
I became very interested very quickly. And I've hit three Royal Flushes in my career, and hoping for more, jonesing for more.
Good, literally, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So anyway, thanks everybody for joining us today. We've had a blast. This, if you haven't figured it out, we're closing in on the holiday week. Hanukkah was last week, and Christmas is coming this week. We are closing in on a holiday period, and we're having a great time. Go to Amazon.com, search out the new Medicare for Lazy Man book.
It's got a red 2021 on the cover. That's how you tell the difference.
You can still get many, many of them delivered to your home before the holidays for passing out to your relatives or sending, because some of us can't go and see anybody. So
yeah, I don't know why that would be, but
I don't know why that is either. But they tell me that I'm not allowed to see anybody. No, I'm teasing, but I'm sneaking around. Don't let anybody know because it's a very much of a secret. So I know this is not going to get out on this podcast.
Very, very quiet.
So,
all righty. See you next time,
everybody.
Randy.
All right. Bye-bye. Thanks, Doug. Bye-bye.